Worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's modern worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Do You Speak Like a Wise Man or a Fool? And I want to ask, if you're married and you asked your spouse that question, what would she say about you? How about your boss? What would he say? Why does the tongue get us into more trouble than anything? And what does God say to help you with the words that you choose?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been doing a sermon series this month on wisdom, and the first week we looked at seeking wisdom with all our heart. Last week we looked at the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And this week I'd like to look with you at speaking wise words and speaking wiser words than we do now. Do you think you speak like a wise man or a fool? How would you answer that question? Well, if you want to find out the true answer to that, I'd say just ask your spouse. He or she might tell you. But today I'd like to talk with you about having a wise tongue and how we might learn to speak wiser words that are altogether pure and righteous all the time. That's important for us to do. Why? Well, God tells us a couple things in the Bible. Let's take a look at Proverbs 21, verse 23. God says this, "He who keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble." Ain't that the truth? Most of the trouble we get into in life is based on what we speak, right? And wish we could get those words back. So God tells you, if you keep your tongue, you can keep yourself out of trouble. Have a good life. Also, we can look back a few at Proverbs 15, verse 2. Holy Spirit says, "The tongue of the wise dispenses knowledge, but the mouth of fools pour out folly." So would you like knowledge to be pouring out of your lips toward us, other people? So, or do you want to just blurt out foolishness all the time? Well, we need to have a wise tongue. And then Peter says in his letter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, quoting an Old Testament psalm, he says, "He who would love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile." In other words, Peter says, if you learn to speak wisely, you're going to have a good life. You're going to enjoy life happy. You will be. But if you don't control this, it's going to be all messed up and trouble. And so the Bible tells us about the importance of the tongue. And so how can we speak wiser words? How can we do that in our lives? Let's talk about what God tells us in that today. And the first thing he says to us is, "Remember, my children, that your words are powerful." Words themselves are powerful, aren't they? They don't seem like a whole lot, but the Bible says in multiple times that they are like a seed. Now, this is a little acorn I got from one of our oak trees out front. Don't look like much, does it? That's just a little seed. What is it? It's not really much power in it, but if you plant this into the earth and give it some time, it has the power to produce a tree like the one out in front, which is, its girth is like this, and its top is reaching up into the skies. Just because of a little tiny seed. And our words are like that. You might not think they're much. They might not seem like much. But they are powerful nevertheless. And how powerful are they? The Bible says in Proverbs 18, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Do you believe that? Say, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." That is an amazing word. How strong these words are coming from our lips, though we don't often understand it. James says, look out on the ocean. Look at the ships out there. They're great, and they're driven by strong winds, and yet they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. And so he says our tongues are like that, a little tiny part of our bodies, right? We got all this rest of the body. It's a little tongue. So much trouble we get into on account of it, or so much good we can do, like I'm doing right now with my tongue. And how great a forest or church is set ablaze by a small fire, as we saw in the children's message, right? The words of men can build up or destroy a spirit. Do you believe that? Can they cut down and destroy? Proverbs 12 says, there is one whose words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So what can a word do? Can it, you ever get a word like that? Oh, that one hurt. That was like a sword thrust. And other words bring healing. That's the power of words. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, says the Holy Spirit. But perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So can you break someone's spirit by a word? Sure. And can you bring life like a tree of life from a gentle tongue? Bible says you can. And Proverbs 15 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Can words affect our emotions, get inside you? I was watching last night with Naomi an old show, and there was a clown that was trying to get people to do the dunk tank so he could make money, and he wasn't getting any response, so he started taunting the crowd, saying, oh, you're fat, or your girlfriend looks like a blah, blah, and all this stuff. His words stir them up, and they wanted to start chucking. They paid all their money out of their pockets to dunk this clown, because the words had power to change emotions. Try that with your spouse if you ever have a disagreement. A soft answer will turn away wrath, but a harsh word will stir up anger. So words do what? They can affect emotions. They can affect our minds, our attitudes. They can affect our peace, our hearts, our souls, our choices, our directions, right? Very powerful these things are that we treat so lightly. I remember running a cross-country race in high school, which I did many, and you sometimes have your teammates on the side. What are they there to do? To cheer you on with a good word, right? It's not much further, Greg. You can make it. Come on. And what do you get? A new burst of energy from their words. Or if there's an evil or a bad enemy of you, might say, that next hill is a kill. You'll never make it. It defeats you. It makes you want to quit because of words. And words, I'll tell you, have power not only in the physical realm that we all live in, but they have power in the spiritual realm as well. Think about the devil. How did he bring destruction and death to the earth? But by a word that he spoke to Eve, and by it he slew her and her husband, right? And brought death into the world because he lied to them by a word. And then Jesus said he's a liar and the father of lies. His power is in what? Say it. You're with me. Words. Demons, who are his army, work in the same way. They're constantly attacking us with words in our minds, aren't we? That's why we've got to wear the helmet of salvation. You ever have this happen to you? You're trying to live a good life. You feel good one day, and all of a sudden, thoughts come racing in that cause you to doubt and depress you. Accusations, insinuations, trepidations to defeat you, to destroy you. Demons, a lot of times. They're firing words at you like flaming arrows to destroy in the power of words. And if words are powerful, think about Jesus. He's the Word of God, made flesh. And what can his words do? He can cast out demons with authority. And people say, wow, this guy can speak to them, and they go. And he can heal by his words. He can speak the words of life. He can bring freedom. He can lift up. He can encourage. He can cast down. And he can bring eternal life by his words. And he's the Son of the Father. And what's God's words like? Psalm 33 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood forth. So are words powerful, friends? They're very powerful. Words can encourage. They can discourage, wound or heal, cut down or lift up. They can kill or make alive. And therefore, Proverbs 12 says, the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the righteous, of the upright delivers men. So that's point number two. Number one is words are powerful. Point two, they're very powerful. All right, point number three then is really Therefore, we should be very careful with our words, right? Careful in how we speak. And our words are very important to God. Do you know that He pays attention to every tiny little word that we utter? These aren't just vapors of wind passing by our vocal cords. These are powerful things that God cares about. And how great a forest is set ablaze by a little fire. Do you know how much danger and bad things that the tongue can do? Or how much a good one can do? There are words God loves and words He hates. Let's take an example in the Old Testament, okay? Remember that situation where Moses sent out the spies? Y'all with me? And they're about to go up to the promised land. 12 spies. 10 come back with an evil word, a bad report. 2 come back with an encouraging word. Let's see if God cares about that. In Numbers 13, some came back and said, we are not, the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. The land through which we've gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw are men of great stature. They're giants up there. And what was the result when the people's heart, when they heard that? They were afraid, and they wanted to choose a captain other than Moses and go back to Egypt. But then Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, no, no, no. It's a good land. And these people, these giants, they're food for us. The Lord Almighty God is with us. Don't be afraid of them. Let's go up. And what was that word? An encouraging word of faith versus the other words of unbelief. Did God care about those things? He slew the 10, and the 2 who had a good word were brought into the promised land. So God cares about our words, doesn't He? You know, people don't really think about this as being important, do they? You know, we just blurt out words like, right? We don't realize this. These are so powerful. You can go into a store. Sometimes you see a mother there treating her kid like, you're such a pest. You always whine. No, you can't have that. And maybe even, I never wanted you in the first place. Whoa. I've heard such kinds of things in stores around here, and I just think, poison into that little heart. These words are seeds, and she's dropping them in there. They're going to bring up an evil tree or a father who says, you're going to never measure up. I don't believe in you. Oh, that word to a son, that's a little word spoken on one day. It'll destroy a life. How powerful they are. But how powerful they are to heal and to bless. And God loves it when He hears words spoken on the earth of forgiveness and tenderness and goodness. And Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So are you with me? You're going to be careful on your words? There are words that God loves and words He hates. So what kinds does He love and what kinds does He hate? Well, the answer, what kind does He love, is He loves words that are like His word, in accord with His book, in accord with His word, namely words that are of truth, that are spoken in the light, words of love and gentleness and forgiveness that lift up and encourage. And therefore it says in the New Testament, put away from you all anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. And do not lie to one another. Right? You ever do that? Light white lies? Put it away. Seeing that you have put off the old nature and have put on the new nature, is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Our words should be newer as Christians and purer by the day as He works. And Ephesians 4 says, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying, for building up, as fits the occasion, so that it may impart grace to those who hear. Your words like that? Hopefully, all the time? Probably not. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, He says. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So that's the kind of word God wants in your heart and your mouth. Kind, tender, forgiving, glorying in Jesus Christ, in the light. That's what He delights in. What happens, though, on a day when you're kind of edgy or you're angry and you feel it inside? What are you going to do about your words then? What's going to come out of your lips? God has a word for you at that moment. He says in Proverbs 17, "He who restrains his words has knowledge, and a man, he who has a cool spirit, is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." So in other words, God is saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, keep quiet. Or if you don't know what to say in a situation, shut up. Keep your mouth closed until you are at peace or you have the spirit in you to speak a good word, right? I mean, think about if you're at home and your wife comes home from the hairdresser and you say something like, "What's up with your hair?" I have a word for you. Proverbs 15, "The mind of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked blurts out evil things." What would your wife say if you said, "What's up with your hair?" She'd say, "Fool," right? But if you ponder how to answer and you consider what looks pretty about it that you like, and you speak that word in love and say, "You know what? You are so pretty to me," your wife is going to go, "Mm-hmm, that's a wise man right there. That's a wise man." And when you have a good word, God wants you to speak it without fear. You don't have to ponder and wait there. Jesus said to Paul one night in a vision, "Don't be afraid, but speak and don't be silent, for I'm with you. And no man shall be able to attack you to harm you, for I have many people in this city." God wants you to cut loose your tongue and speak freely when you're speaking goodness and righteousness and Jesus and truth and love and such things. "And I want your words to be pure," God says, "as mine are pure." How you doing? Are you perfect? Have you all aced this? We all stumble in this, don't we? And we all fail. Remember what James says? James 3 says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all make many mistakes," don't we? We make mistakes with our words. And he says, "Your tongue is like a fire. It's an unrighteous world among your members. It stains the whole body," etc. We can tame beasts and birds and reptiles and things at the zoo and whatever, but no human being has tamed the tongue. He says, "It's restless, evil, full of deadly poison. With it we're blessing God the Father, and we're cursing men who are made in the likeness of God. My brethren, this ought not to be so." And so from the same mouth are coming blessings and cursing. What does God want? No, a pure stream, like his, blessings and goodness and righteousness. So we all fail sometimes, right? I can give you an example of myself where I failed not long ago. I took Beth up to the Jacksonville and Naomi to the Jacksonville concert, Christian concert. And I went back to the hotel, they went to the concert, I came back to pick them up, and Jacksonville has no street signs, as far as I can tell. And I'm looking at my phone, and every time I take a turn, it goes, "Recomputing." And I'm late, and I'm tired, and 8 turns later, recomputing. All of a sudden, I'm in the hood, it's dark, I don't know where I am, recomputing. And I'll tell you, I had a word that reminded me that I was once a sailor. I just had to say, "I am sorry, Lord. I'm sorry I had that word. I repent." We all make many mistakes in this. And I can give a general rebuke to some also in our congregation. Remember, speaking about our president, I know a lot of you don't agree with his policies. And you can say that. "I don't agree with his policies." Or, "I don't think he's making a wise decision." Or maybe even, "I don't trust him." Those are okay. But to use derogatory trash talk about our leader is evil and wrong. You're not to do it. We got to be careful about that. Remember Paul in Acts 23? He's standing before the high priest Ananias. And Ananias tells the person next to Paul to strike him. And Paul says, "You strike me? God will strike you, you whitewashed wall." Then the person says to Paul, he says, "Is that the way you speak to the high priest?" And Paul backs off. He says, "Sorry, I didn't know it was the high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" So let's be careful about the words we use. Fear the Lord and speak good words. And honor the office of those in authority, even if you don't agree with the man. And we all fail, okay? We all haven't tamed the tongue. What can we do then to win? How do we speak right words more often? Well, the first thing God says is understand this, that the real battle is not about your tongue or about your lips or your mouth. The real battle is about your heart. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil." So, you want to speak more righteous words, what do you got to do? You need a new heart. Because whatever's in here, that's what's going to come out here. You can't tame this, but if you put what's right in here, good is going to come out. And so, God has done that for us. The Bible says, apart from Jesus, everyone's heart is evil. All day, continually. That was in the days of Noah, too. Same as now. But we're to receive a seed into our hearts. Where's my seed? We're to receive God's word into our hearts. And when it's planted there, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And you believe that implanted seed, that implanted word, it has the power to get in here and start growing into a tree and producing righteousness and something good inside you. And then that good is now going to start coming out of your lips. What's the first good word that comes out of your lips when this seed is planted? "I confess that I'm a sinner, falling short of your glory." What's that to God? Good words. And then you say, "I believe in and call on Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Save me. I believe you died and rose for me." A good word is coming out. Out of what? Good treasure here. Now out of here. Then you say, "What can I do to serve you for all the goodness you've done for me?" That's a good word. See how that works? You got a good seed. You got to put good in here if you're going to get good out of your lips. We all still fail. Even so, because as Christians, we have a sin nature, even though we're born again, along with the new nature. So what should you do? Here's another thing God tells you. Pray about it. David says in Psalm 141, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." That's a great prayer. You prayed that? God, teach me how to answer this situation. Well, when I read that, sometimes I picture an angel standing there with a great sword right at my lips, when I say something really stupid, whack, and it cuts it off before it comes to get out here. Because our words, remember that sermon on arrows, white arrows, black arrows? They're like, once you let it go, you can't get it back. But if you can catch it before, pray that God would catch it and strike it before you let it go. And then, in the same way, you can pray that God would give you the words and speak them with courage. For Paul, it says, "Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all in prayer and supplication, and to that end keep alert, with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." And Paul says, "And also for me, that utterance may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel." How does that come? Through what? Are you with me? Prayer. You pray, God will answer it. Holy Spirit will oblige and give you the tongue to speak courageously of Jesus. So prayer. Another thing you can do, now that you're a Christian, are you still speaking bad words sometimes? Sure you are. So what do you need to do? Out of the treasure of the heart, the mouth speaks. You put a seed in there. You got good words. What do you think might be a good idea? Put more seeds in. Right? Whatever you plant, it's going to come out. So how about instead of taking one little seed, even though it's the gospel, that's the number one seed, right? But start pouring in the entire scriptures, the whole Bible. Eat it, chew it, drink it, meditate on it, ponder it, get it in there. And the more it's in here and the more you're in this word, guess what's coming out your lips? Scripture or love and gentleness and kindness and forgiveness. And you'll be amazed, wisdom that the world doesn't even know. And authority all coming out because you've planted and put a good storehouse in your treasure chest. It's going to come out. There's no possible way it won't. You meet a Christian who's been storing your treasure house, her treasure house, or his treasure house, you're going to meet a Christian who's got words in line with light and truth that refresh the spirit and until it's coming out your ears. And so do that as well. And then also just learn to trust the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes when I get up to preach and I don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will give me the words if you ask him. Jesus says, "When they deliver you up, don't be anxious how you're to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given you in that hour." Think about that. Will be given to you. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. What a privilege that you're a vessel. God pours his own word into you, and it comes out your lips. That'll happen. Jesus says, if you ask the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord speaks by me, says David. His word is on my tongue. Jesus says, I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. Remember Peter? Maybe you feel not too educated or able to do this. Peter was uneducated, a common man. The rulers challenged him, saying, by what name or by what authority did you make this man, this lame man, leap for joy? He says, if we're being examined today, O rulers, by what name or by what authority that this man is standing before you, well, be it known to you all that by the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. And there's salvation in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And they're all like, whoa, this guy's an uneducated common man. How's he speaking like this? And they recognize that he'd been with Jesus. Can God put the words into your heart and into your mind by the Spirit when you need them? With your spouse? With your friends, with your enemies, with your boss? He can and he will. The Holy Spirit will most happily oblige. And finally, I'll just say this. Love those that you speak to. Maybe you're nervous at an interview. Just go in there to love them, and I'll guarantee you the right words will come out and glorify Jesus. I've had times when I don't know what to say, and I just think, just glorify Jesus, Greg. Just glorify Jesus. And you know what? The right words pour out just like Niagara Falls. Because if I'm after glorying in Jesus, the Holy Spirit will make it happen. And so do that with your spouse. Do that with your friends and your children. Do that even with your enemies. Glory in Jesus and love them. And final point is Jesus, friends, is the real seed. Here it is. He's the seed of God. He's called the Word of God. And Jesus says in John 12, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. He says, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it's going to bear much fruit. And in the same way, Jesus died for us as the seed of God, the Word. He was planted and buried into the earth. On the third day, he sprang up into a great tree and caused abundant fruit, and I'm looking at it right now. That's you. You are the fruit of the seed of God, Jesus Christ, and he loves you. Let that into your heart, because his love in you is going to make you wise and will give you the words that you seek in wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Do You Speak Like a Wise Man or a Fool? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
Baruch Adonai, Elohim Israel, Adonai, Blessed is the Lord. Baruch Adonai, Elohim Israel, Adonai, Blessed is the Lord. Min ha'olam
but ha'olam praise his name forever and again. Nina ha'olam, but ha'olam.